Good morning. Good morning to all you garbage degens out there. This is the Bitcoin Veteran Spaces, and this is episode 54. And I am your host, Coleman, and I want to wish you a very happy November 1st. Man, October just flew by, and this week has flown by. There's only five more days until the election. This whole year is just going by so quick. So I want to thank everybody for joining us this morning. And while everyone's refilling their coffee, getting their water, your bone broth, or just getting the gunk out of your eyes, I'm going to give you some time to settle in. And I'll go over the reason we do this show every single morning, Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern. And that's to ensure that we show the world what Bitcoiners can do. And what do I mean by that? I mean that we don't need a centralized government to tell us what to do and to rely on. With this power of Bitcoin, with decentralization going out and shaking hands and impacting small communities, we can show them the power of what we can do. And we can get back to what our founding fathers have fought so hard for, you know, right for freedom of speech, due process of law. And Bitcoin allows us to circumvent the current system and able to go around it. And we don't support tyranny in any shape or form. And that's why it's so important that we go out there and exercise our rights as American citizens. So get out there this weekend. If we still have early voting, go out there and vote. And on Tuesday, if you haven't voted yet, get out there and vote. I don't care which side you vote for, just as long as you're executing and exercising your constitutional right as an American. So let's get out there. Let's have a great show. And if this is your first time tuning into us, reach out to us. Send us a DM, send it to the Bitcoin Veterans handle or to myself, and we'll point you and answer any questions you may have. This community is growing at just an extremely fast pace, and so we're always happy to help and answer any questions you have. We're about to hit a new bull run. Price is starting to take off even this morning. And so we're going to get a lot of new people into the space. So just remember to be patient with everybody. The first time you heard about Bitcoin, you probably didn't jump on it. I know if I could go back in time, I would slap the crap out of myself back in 2013 for giving it zero attention when it was brought to me. So just remember that everybody starts off a little skeptical and hesitant. And so make sure that we point them here to one of the best spaces on Twitter. A little bit of a long rant, but I want to welcome Eomar up on the stage. I see we have Bob Van Kirk in the audience, Hunter, Allison Gabelord, AC, Ace, Doc. I see we have Z-Mac, Joe. Good morning, everybody. Homer Hoddle. Gabe, I haven't had a chance to talk to you for a couple of weeks, so please feel free to jump up on the panel. I'd like to get your thoughts on what you expect to happen over the weekend. But I have Eomar up here, so good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. How's everybody doing this Friday?
Doing great. How was your Halloween?
That was good. I stuck around my neighborhood. My kids are still little, so it works out pretty good. Not too many spooky decorations and stuff, you know, just the right level of spooky for them. So it's a good time. They got a bunch of candy that they probably won't eat, and they'll sit around until my wife brings it to work. So it's good.
Absolutely. Did you find that it was a busy Halloween, or did you feel like it was kind of slower? I'm just trying to get some perspective on that, because it was extremely slow in our neighborhood. We had less than half the amount of people we normally do.
My neighborhood, it's like been ticking up just because like the age of the kids here. So previously, like, they were all either, you know, aged out of trick-or-treating or too little, but now, you know, houses have changed hands and stuff, so it's all got a lot comparatively to when we started of trick-or-treaters. So it's pretty cool. We kind of go, it's mostly like at least like half of us got together and just kind of walked around our own houses, so it's fun times.
Excellent. Were you able to did you pass out candy, or you only went out to collect candy?
Now we all just kind of leave it on the step and then walk around and check out decorations and stuff.
So the honor system?
Yeah. I live in a relatively small community, so honor system works pretty good. We still had a whole, like, almost a whole bucket of candy by the time we got back. So
That's awesome. I'm glad there wasn't hooligans out there stealing all the candy from everybody else. I attached a little QR code to all of our candy. Well, I say I did. I delegated. My wife did it for me. She did it to about 250 pieces of candy, so bless her soul. And so she, we put that out there and we passed it to everybody. So I'm not sure if you all are familiar, but BitcoinRocks.com, if you go to their website, you can get order bandit signs. So those are the signs you just stick into the ground, and it has a QR code and it says, got inflation, buy Bitcoin. You can also order their little pamphlets and have it sent to specific businesses to get them accepting Bitcoin, or not accepting Bitcoin, but to kind of make them aware that you can accept Bitcoin for businesses. So we created a QR code with their information and just attached it to all our candy bars. So we passed out about 200, 250 candies. So we hopefully at least one or two people read it and they check them out. But if you haven't checked out Bitcoin Rocks, I highly recommend going checking them out. It's pretty easy to order their pamphlets and information. And it's free. It doesn't cost you anything, but then you can just help spread that message. In case you all missed it, we had an update with Operation Gabriel on Tuesday night with the Bitcoin Veterans video podcast. So we had Shane and Mike out. If you haven't listened to that episode yet, highly encourage you to go back and give it a listen. It's really informative. It'll let you know exactly what the guys were doing, what they experienced. I know we still have Hunter out there. I see him in the audience. He's still up there helping with his church and with us. So a huge thank you to Hunter. If you want to come up here, Hunter, if you're able to, I'd love to get some more firsthand experience. I know you're posting some stuff on the back channels, but if you want to share with everybody, I'm sure everybody would be appreciative of that. But we're still moving forward with it. Again, I want to make sure we keep touching on this every day, just because there's still a lot of people that are impacted from this storm, and they're not getting back to a sense of normalcy yet. And so it's getting cold. We've hit the fall, winter months, especially up in the mountains. So we're trying to ensure everybody has warm weather clothing, fuel for heaters and generators, and also just homes. So I know that we're trying to partner and work with different organizations to get tiny homes set up so we can start moving families into it while they finish rebuilding everything. So Hunter, if you want to, or if Gabe, if you want to give us an update with that, I'd love to hear what you have to say.
Well, he looks for the mute button. Was that Bitcoin.rocks? Is that the website you were talking about before, or is it?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Let me just wait. Let me triple check that. Bitcoin Rocks, as you are. Sorry about this, guys.
Hey, while we're spinning that up, on that note of Bitcoin Rocks, there's something that can be kind of fun to do. Is you can actually go in there and you can order the pamphlets about, you know, why businesses should adopt Bitcoin and transact in Bitcoin. And you don't have to have it come to you. You can just punch in the address of local businesses. That's kind of something that I've been doing, is just going through, got in my Chamber of Commerce and just going through businesses and finding them. And a lot of businesses in my community are receiving information about Bitcoin. Sometimes it can help for it to come from a neutral source. There's that saying that a prophet is without honor in their hometown, and I find that different people are more receptive to hearing about it from different sources. And so if they're just getting stuff in the mail, and you've got a lot of businesses in your community that keep on getting all of this Bitcoin information, they're going to start talking about it. It's going to generate discussions. And then for the next level, it's kind of fun to go into those businesses later on and then drop comments like, hey, do you guys accept Bitcoin yet? And then they start thinking, hey, I just got this packet in the mail the other day telling me why I should do that. And then it can kind of spark that conversation. So it's a little bit of a Trojan horse approach, but sometimes that tends to be the most effective. And also the signs that you mentioned, Coleman, the yard signs, those are those go really well near polling places for voters for voting. I mean, if you don't have them now, you're probably a little bit too late for that. But at the same time, the conversation about inflation is going to continue regardless of what happens. But personally, in my area, I have put up those signs near polling places, and you know, everybody's already thinking about politics, and they look and they say, "Oh yeah, I got inflation. It sucks. Let's look at this QR code, and let's do the thing." So it's there's really nothing to lose there. You request the signs, and I got mine in just a couple of days. It was pretty awesome. So, yeah, take a look at it. It's just another way to keep spreading the message and keeping the conversation going.
Yeah, and Gabe, you were the one that actually pointed me to Bitcoin.rocks. So it is Bitcoin.rocks. But yeah, it's really easy. It's really friendly. And, you know, again, Gabe's much more intelligent than me. So that's some 3D chess moves out there, sending it to a business and going in after you know it's been delivered and talking about it. So you're just really like... you're just really messing with their mind. They're like, oh my gosh, like this is a sign. I need to start doing it. So definitely, I've never thought about doing that, but I'm definitely going to just start sending it to them. Because again, it's really easy. And I forget who had started mentioning this, but I've been trying to actively pursue it. But anytime I go to pay for something, even if I know they don't have it, I always ask, do you also accept Bitcoin? And 99% of the time, they just kind of look and they're like, what? And they're like, I'm pretty sure we don't. But again, if we just continually just keep asking that, you're planting that seed and you're getting them to think about it. So when they do hear it, they're like, wow, you know what? There's been a lot of people talking about this. Maybe I should be. And again, remember, the bull market is just about to start. We're about to get a lot of new retail customers people getting into it. So again, just start planting those little seeds. It doesn't have to be a huge measure to go ahead and tackle this beast, just a little bit, just one conversation at a time. And it's just fun. But I see we have Hunter up here. Good morning, sir. Can you give us an update of what you're doing in North Carolina?
Hey, good morning, guys. Can you hear me okay? I'm at work, so it can be a little loud here.
We can hear you, sir.
All right, cool. Yeah, I got back on Wednesday, so I'm not in North Carolina anymore. But a lot of good was done while we were there. Got teamed up with the Christian Rangers again. And the mission this time was just to try to get people some heaters. A lot of the people, the power was restored, but they were still running on these propane heaters, which if you're in like a closed space and in the trailer parks and stuff, it's very dangerous from carbon monoxide poisoning. So we went to a local fire department, got carbon monoxide detectors, showed them how to use those, and we got them the electric space heaters that are a bit safer than the propane heaters. So we're able to do that. I noticed that it's not quite as dire this time around as it was the first time. I feel like a lot of people have had their most basic needs met. It's a lot of work ahead as far as infrastructure. I saw a lot more military out there this time, and looks like they got a long road ahead of them as far as cleaning up the water and the air quality and everything that's going on, all the roads out there. So there's still a lot of work to be done, but it felt better around like the people's immediate needs. A lot of people have had contact and they're getting their supplies. So I definitely saw progress on that front. And it looks like the mission is kind of moving into more of a housing issue now. We're looking into, helping out people who have been displaced completely as far as tiny homes or, I know there's people are looking into yurts and campers getting donated, and the mission's kind of moving in that direction. As far as when I was working alongside the Christian Rangers, they were really moving in that direction. But a lot of progress is being made, and definitely see the impact.
Awesome. And thank you for that, Hunter, and thanks for being able to go out there and continue our message and our Operation Gabriel. And again, if you're able to help out, even just spreading the message, retweeting our links up in the nest, just making sure everyone understands what's going on. So it's extremely important. But I want to go ahead and start hitting some of the topics today. The big thing that was released this morning was the jobs report that came out for October. There was only 12,000 jobs added in the month of October, and they were expected to be 100,000. This is the weakest jobs report since December 2020. And the prior 2 months, surprise, surprise, were revised down by 112,000. So 81,000 jobs for August and 31,000 jobs for September. So, Eomar, Gabe, I'd like to get your take on this before I give too much more on what I think is going on. But any thoughts or comments on the jobs report released?
I mean, my general take on the economy is that they're just kind of trying to hold their breath till after election and might not be making it there. You know, they want to try to keep up the facade that we have like a functional economy and everything's going well. And I don't really think they care about after the election, right? Like as long as they get elected, what happens after that? I don't think they care too much. You know, and if they, I think part of it, like, you know, there's some people that are like, oh, like, Harris is just like the sacrificial lamb. And there could be some truth to that. I mean, she's not, I mean, she was, in my opinion, she was picked as the VP candidate because her political career died after, you know, Tulsi Gabbard destroyed her in a debate. So she's easily controlled. So like maybe she is just like the sacrificial lamb that they're tossing out there. And, you know, like it could be like a long-term play potentially. And, you know, this is kind of tin hat wearing maybe, but, you know, a long-term play to have, you know, if Trump gets elected and the economy crashes under him, you know, most Americans don't understand that, like, if you take over and then 2 days later the economy crashes, it wasn't your fault, you know? So they'll just be like, oh, it crashed under Trump. So, you know, that could be like part of it, but I really think they're just trying to hold things together. And like I've pointed out, like the strategic petroleum reserve before, how we're burning through that. You know, I just think that there's a lot of shenanigans that are involved. You know, 2016, when Trump was running, he talked about how, you know, the stock market was in a bubble and blah, blah, blah. And then when he was elected, he kind of stopped talking about that and just started talking about how the stock market's doing great. Kind of painted himself into a corner, because I do think it is in a bubble. You know, if you look at the PE ratio of a lot of these companies, like the amount of priced in, like the priced in years of growth that are already in the price is just kind of crazy. That's my take on it. It's just that there's all sorts of shenanigans going on trying to make things look better than they actually are. That's on every front. It's not just the economy. It's like everything the government's doing, they're trying to cover up how poorly it's actually working out for us.
Gabe, do you have anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to that. It's, I mean, right now, the priority, of course, is not only the election, but what's next. Because if they do still have any, if the left still has any intentions on actually winning this thing, then they've got a specific plan in place to do a few things. I mean, that's where my mind is trying to be right now, is 2 weeks from the election date, because I tend to think that it's not going to just be settled the night of the 5th. They're already talking about it's going to take longer than that to count everything. But I'm working through the scenarios, the potential scenarios that may unfold as a result of this event. And I can tell you that it's I don't anticipate too many of them being without challenges and being smooth in any regard. If indeed she is a sacrificial lamb that is being set up, some people might think that that's a win. If you're pulling for the orange guy, but it's not really a win at all. And that's the challenge that I'm confronted with right now, is finding the win in this situation. I believe that a victory, and I'm kind of moving away from the topic right now, but I promise I'll come back. The a win for him would clearly be better for the Bitcoin community, I believe, than a win for her. So that's a plus. That's nice. But at the same time, a win for him is going to look like a few more years of just high drama, fighting, sabotage. It wouldn't surprise me if how do I put this? If someone succeeded in ending his effectiveness and presence on this world, that wouldn't shock me at all if all stops were pulled out to finally make that happen. And so that would not be good for anybody. because the response from the garbage, as they put it, that supports him would not be favorable for anyone, I believe. And so we don't want that to happen. But anyway, let me circle back around. Yes, I believe that right now we're only fed the information that they want us to see, first of all. And so the question I believe here is, what is the desired response, or what is the desired perception that they have, that they want us to have from the information that they're giving us leading up to this pivotal moment that is expected to climax here over the next few days. So why do they want us to believe what they're giving us? And what is the purpose behind it? Those are the questions that I'm asking. And unfortunately, I don't have any answers. But I do encourage as many of us as possible to focus on it, you know, to zoom out and to focus on the larger picture here. Because the election itself, while yes, it's important, and yes, it's got a lot of attention and a lot of energy surrounding it, but there's a much, much larger picture here that I believe that we need to be considering and looking at, and the big what's next after the election, whichever way it falls out, because I believe every person listening to this knows enough to know that we're not going to have an election with a clear winner and with a smooth transition, whether it's her taking the big chair or him taking the big chair. It's not going to be a smooth transition, and it's going to get ugly, and it's going to get nasty, her on both of those. And we need to prepare ourselves for that. And this type of information that's being released, I believe, is again, meant to paint a certain picture for a specific reason. But I don't know exactly what that reason is. All I know is I'm not just going to take it for what it is and just accept it as fact, because there are multi-layered agendas that are at play here. So I hope that was confusing enough for everyone.
It was perfectly confusing, and there's a lot of threads I'd like to pull on that. No, I didn't find it confusing. I know what you're talking about, Gabe, and you're right. Why come up with such little? Why come up with almost the truth? Why show how bad the economy really is? 10,000 jobs. Why not just lie like you've done the previous months and then just revive it after? So are they really just trying to punt the election? Again, like you said, Gabe, I don't have an answer for this, but it does cause more. It does create more questions than it does bring answers. And so, again, maybe they're just trying to punt it just to show that, you know, it's going to tank. I do think that there's two economies going on, and I can see it when I travel to different parts of town, that the parts of town I travel to that have a lot of money. Things are just bustling. You couldn't tell that anybody's struggling. And if you go to different parts, you can definitely see the restaurants are empty. Everyone just kind of has a different appearance and just kind of look on their faces. And I did notice that yesterday, and it was funny. My son brought it up to me first. He just said, people look stressed out. And he's absolutely right. We're on the brink of something. And what that is, I can't answer for you. But you can feel it. It's palatable. You can just see it everywhere you go. And yeah. So, go ahead.
Yeah. And you both talked about it in the beginning with Halloween. And I made the same observation last night. We usually have a good amount of trick or treaters, and sometimes we just leave the bowl out front. We roam the neighborhood, and other times we don't. Last night we did not. We stayed in, and there was it was a small group of kids. We had one group of kids that came to the house, and that was quite unusual. And the neighborhood itself just wasn't as active. There are usually a lot of people roaming around in the streets, and I went out and checked things out, and it just wasn't the case. Decorations were much more sparse this year than in previous years. And I think that this is a testament to how much the information that we receive can impact our own daily choices and quality of life. And the reality is that so much of the information that is put out there is designed to do those very things. It's designed to crush our and to make us live these extremely stressed out lives, because what it does in many ways is it transforms us into these creatures that are reliant upon those sources of information and also dependent upon a savior that we believe can be delivered to us from a political office, which obviously is just not true, and it is never going to be the actual case. But to put us into this condition where, and I mean, on a larger scale, you know, where we're eating poison, where, you know, we're consuming garbage in our brains constantly, to put us in this weakened position of dependence where we rely on this benevolent, this benevolent entity that knows more than us, and to believe that we have some type of a sway over who gets to sit in what big chair, it's not good for us. And what it's doing is it's inhibiting our activities. It's inhibiting our mobility and our normal daily lives in a way that is, I believe, has generational effects. And again, it's just Halloween. I get it. You know, it's for the kids. People like to dress up. It's for the grownups too. But when things like our normal traditions that people take a break from the rigmarole of life, you know, we check out, everybody dresses up and acts a little crazy, and the teenagers act stupid, and the grownups get drunk, and everybody eats candy, and we all, it is what it is. But when we, as we begin to, as those events in life, as those occasions in life continue to diminish, then I mean, our overall perspective on life becomes less positive. So I think it's important to recognize the effect that these things are having on us. It's not just, okay, well, if this person gets elected, then, you know, I can't choose what to do with my body. If this person gets elected, then, you know, we're all going to be slaves or whatever we want to put on it. But the fact is, yeah, it matters, but it's not the most important thing. It really is not the most important thing, and maintaining perspective matters. Keeping an eye on being plugged into our local communities, getting plugged into our local political systems. There's a huge need for that. Go look at some of the local elected positions in your community, and it's very highly likely that you're going to have some that are unoccupied. No one's running for it. Look at the local ballots that are coming out and see who's running against who. And a lot of times people are running unopposed. Throw your name in there. You know, take a look around, see what you can do. Start implementing some change on a level that you actually can. Because these federal elected positions, they're nonsense. Okay. And most of the things that are happening in our world and in our country specifically, those decisions aren't being made by people who are elected into their offices anyway. They're made by unelected people in three-letter agencies that are deciding things that affect us, that never see us and don't acknowledge or consider the impact on the individual as it is anyway. Listen, I've had this microphone way too long, but those are some of my thoughts.
No, you can keep going, Gabe. I really appreciate it. I've missed you for the last week or two, but you're hitting everything right on point. And I don't think anything you're saying can really be argued or counter-argued. And so it's really interesting times. And again, we do the Bitcoin mission is how can Bitcoin fix this? So again, with this bull run, with people that have been just stacking sats all the way through the bottom at 16K all the way up to now, I genuinely hope that if you're in an area where you're not at this moment, you're not able to escape from, it's just not financially able to, I truly hope that with your stack with Bitcoin, it gives you that financial freedom so you can go out and do something that you're passionate about or get out to an area it's safer for you, your family, or just better for you and your family. And so again, that's what Bitcoin, it does fix this. It allows you to get out from underneath the thumb of these tyrants and do your own thing. So it's really important to remember that. So thank you, Gabe, for going on and hitting those points.
I just want to mention one other thing. Like one other possibility with the jobs number is that, I think we kind of saw it with Zuckerberg, right? He started to kind of hedge his bets against the corruption that took place last election. And maybe that's kind of that too, with the bureaucrats in these various agencies that are responsible for these reports, that they are concerned of what will come out if they like continue these like falsified reports and stuff. So maybe they're thinking like, oh, it's better to get it out now so that like there's no undue scrutiny after the election. Because, you know, I mean, that's like one potential reason why these numbers are getting revised down and stuff, that the just to kind of hedge their bets, make sure that they're not targeted for lying or being ineffective or whatever after the election if Trump were to win.
So they all have a job when Elon gets in there and tries to clean house. They're actually factual. They're needed.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know when they get asked to submit their lines of code and stuff. It might turn out bad for them either way.
Yeah. I truly hope that Trump does win. I think there has to be a change. I think a Harris win is just continuing of the same system. And again, if you don't see that way, I'm not trying to cause you to turn off the space. I just think that there's a lot of opportunity with a Trump win, and the things that he's promising could really have a positive benefit for everybody. I do think reducing the size of government is a huge thing. And if he's able to do it, I think it'll be better for everybody. Again, in the short term, probably not. But over a course of a year or two, over his entire term, over 4 years, I think it'll be very beneficial. Just kind of look what's going on with Argentina as an example. They reduced their government by, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was 70%. They got rid of all 70% of all government employees. And their country is slowly starting to change. It's been about a year since he's been in office, so you can start to see that happening. But speaking of Argentina, I don't know if you all saw this news. The Central Bank of Argentina opened up an art exhibit in their building that includes an actual Bitcoin mining equipment mining Bitcoin. So they're the first central bank in the world to openly be mining Bitcoin. So kind of cool with that. And there's been some rumors they might be the next nation that kind of adopts a Bitcoin standard. I know they've been talking a lot with El Salvador, and their vice president of Argentina went and spoke with Bukele a couple months ago. And that was kind of the first thing they talked about was Bitcoin. So there's a lot of hope there for the citizens of Argentina. And it'd be very interesting if they did adopt a Bitcoin standard. Do you all have any thoughts on that or any comments?
Just in general, I have a lot of doubts about Milei and some of the things that, like, I like the top line rhetoric stuff that gets out there. But like, as you dig deeper, I have some doubts and concerns with Milei. Is like this, he's often pushed out as like this libertarian figure, but some of his policies don't really match with that. So, you know, I have some, you know, head scratchers. It doesn't really impact me that much, so I don't honestly dig that deep into it. But it's enough for me to say, like, you know, like you read about him shipping out, it was a couple months ago, I think he shipped out a lot of the gold that they had in reserves and stuff. And it just makes you like wonder, like, if he's this staunch libertarian, like why is he sending out his gold? You know, there are like probably some explanations for it. There's other parts of his policies that are very much not libertarian, or at least how we would think of as libertarian. You know, those just make me kind of scratch my head and wonder what more is there to it. But, you know, I think, again, I don't know too much about Argentina's politics beforehand, so I can't dive too deep into it. But, you know, anything honestly going for like a Bitcoin standard, I think, is good. So I think, like you mentioned, Bukele in El Salvador. Like he, I think, obviously is making steps towards it. Milei, I think, is still yet to be seen. I know they kind of like, he was talking about like pitting to the dollar. I just saw like he fired somebody for being against like the sanctions in Cuba or something. So, you know, that's not really like a libertarian take. It's kind of like a, hey, America, let's be friends take. And, you know, we know how our government, utilizes the dollar throughout the world. So that's my, like, kind of throws up the red flags for me. I think Lisa has her hand up if you wanted to comment on it.
Yeah, good morning, Lisa.
Hello, guys. Oh, I've missed you. I've sort of been stalking you guys this week, but I've just had too many calls and such. But anyway, thanks for having me up for just a second today. Yeah. sorry, allergies. So I'm just going to go ahead and shill myself on LinkedIn, because I've been writing a lot about this, a lot about the central banks adopting Bitcoin, specifically, you know, promoting, allowing, adopting Bitcoin mining in their countries. And I do think this is an issue that needs to be raised at a much larger level. You know, Bob Burnett has originally surfaced this idea and sent me down this very fascinating trail. But we must have hash rate here, or we will sanction ourselves from the future financial system. It really is that simple. So I encourage folks to, like, dig into this issue. You can start maybe my LinkedIn posts for the last week, although it goes back further. Like, I watch BRICS carefully. I'm following what they're doing. I think it's actually just merely a place in the middle of the river. I think they're crossing to the other side. I think if they have not yet realized, they will realize that, you know, creating another multi-nation fiat is really not the sustainable answer, nor is it the most protective measure that they can take. And I think what their overarching goal is to create a protective monetary system so that they can interact globally. And, you know, I've said this for a long time, too. I really think that Elizabeth Warren has not only done a disservice to America, but, I mean, she is really protecting these banks, launching the choke point 1.0, and it has done a huge disservice to our overall national security, because the national security of America depends on the strength of the financial system, and we want it to stay here in America, right? We need capital markets in order to have successful businesses and drive our economy, et cetera. Money is at the base layer. Money is on one side of every transaction. So anyway, I think this is hugely fascinating that these central banks are now, you know, displaying Bitcoin mining. I kind of think it's a middle finger to Elizabeth Warren in a way, because, and I think it's just horribly unfair that we have let her do this in our country, you know, this being be so down on crypto and polluted all the news stations, the media mafia. It is dangerous.
Lisa, do you think it's not only her, but the...
Well, yeah, I mean, it makes sense, though, if you think of it, right? Like, so I was just going to say quick, you know, it goes back to who owns all these things, right? It's all... They're all serving the same racket. They're all playing the same game, right? It's you know, from the military industrial complex to the media to all of it. It's all owned by the banks, and they are the ones that are you know, paying to corrupt these politicians. So it makes sense why she would go on the offensive against something that, you know, kind of threatens their system, or at least how they see it today. So
right. But the energy transition, I mean, unpopular opinion, the energy transition is, you know, the energy companies becoming the banks, period, right? The energy companies will begin to, even though Chevron released earnings today and gave back $7.5 billion to shareholders, which a sailor would say, you know, they ran out of ideas, so they gave the money back. They will begin to integrate Bitcoin mining into every bit of their energy operations, be it exploration. I mean, I've said this before on this space. I see them pulling up drill ships next to rigs in the Gulf of Mexico to set up hash rate, right? You will get a higher price for your molecules at power generation stations. You will get a higher price for your molecules at midstream assets like gas processing plants. You will get a higher price for your molecule. Every energy company will begin integrating Bitcoin mining. And when they have hash rate, they will begin to control the financial future. So that is where we are. That is the energy transition. And we need to continue to surface these conversations. Not that I'd mind talking about Bitcoin as an asset and we should allocate 1% or whatever that narrative is. It's just much bigger than that.
Do you think that do you think Shell, Chevron is going to create their own mining company, or are they just going to have like a Marathon or a Riot come in and do it for them? How do you see that unfolding, Lisa?
I'm not sure. I can tell you on a much smaller scale that the companies that I talk to every day are folks that are really just solving real world problems. You know, they're shut in West Texas, or they're shut in New Mexico because they can't flare anymore. They've got Dan Morrison and I are working on a project right now where there's a major energy company, a producer, who's got oil that they want to bring out of the ground, that has been coming out of the ground. They have a pipeline. There's a midstream operator who's separating the associated gas, and they're selling the natural gas liquids. And then they've been flaring the residual gas, right? Like what we need to put into generators where we can mine Bitcoin. And so Bitcoin mining solves a huge problem, because without it, the guys that are stripping the liquids are not in business, and the guys that are producing the oil can't monetize that site. So I see the creep really starting there. I mean, I hope that, you know, Mike Wirth is moving into the building about a block from me, from Chevron. I hope when he gets here, I get invited to a cocktail party that he's at, and I can kind of pitch him on the broader idea. But I think the broader idea is the energy companies will become the central banks in America because they will own the hash rate.
Petro, did you have a question, sir?
Yeah, look, I got a lot of opinions about this. Lisa's been to my events, and you know, I'm very focused on that part of Bitcoin. I believe, you know, that at the midstream level, it's going to be really, really difficult, primarily because, man, oil and gas companies are just very, very used to doing business as it's always been done. So until we get a younger echelon of executives in there, I just don't see, much like Microsoft, I don't see these boards thinking that we haven't looked at it and it didn't make sense before, so we're not going to look at it again. However, when you are facing low commodity prices, you know, the reality sinks in that you have to make money. And the fact is that a lot of formations are past their primary production windows, and they're probably never going to get touched. So you have, aside from the associated gas that Lisa's talking about, you have massive, massive, massive stores of natural gas that are not being tapped, that happen to be, you know, in the regions that probably from the perspective of not only compute, not only power generation for people, but now with SpaceX successfully having a fully reusable rocket platform, we are going to see natural gas take a bigger draw. You know, the big West Texas pipeline, Matterhorn, was finally turned on. That gave some relief, but it was that capacity was immediately sucked up. And to Lisa's point, what you could see is you could see these major pipelines be paired up with power generation assets that are paired up with Bitcoin miners that would eventually allow you to give those pipelines additional capacity as offtake and would increase the ability for these operations to be more profitable. Just like you have the ability of a Bitcoin miner to plug themselves into a intermittent power generation resource like wind or solar, just the same, you can tie this on to stable grid load generation and do a lot of good. The question is, Lisa, I think, is are we going to see AI kind of stunt the development of power infrastructure for Bitcoin? Because the fact is you have a you have a customer that, unlike Bitcoin, is not price sensitive to the fuel that they're using. So I'm very, very curious as to your take on who wins the power demand race and how that shakes out, because there is just this massive wall of money being thrown at AI. So much so that the Bitcoin miners are taking note and saying, hey, we have a strategy to tap into that. So love your take on it.
Okay, well, a couple things. First of all, I met yesterday with a midstream operator, Dan Morrison, and I met yesterday with a midstream operator who was, you know, my vintage, maybe a little bit older, who literally sat across the table and said, we need Bitcoin mining. We need it. Otherwise, we can't, you know, do our business. Like, he didn't know the first thing about Bitcoin. He's not on Bitcoin Twitter. He's not a hardcore zealot like me, right? It just solves a problem for his company. And I think that this is going to continue to spread because they're not in this geopolitical fight over hash rate, banking, power, you know, like control of the universe. They're just trying to solve a problem. And secondly, on the AI front, sure. I mean, this week I attended the Texas Nuclear Alliance happy hour. They had a public utility commissioner there, actually the guy that developed the Electricity Council in America. They had a woman from the Baker Institute at Rice who's working on this. Yeah, I mean, I see the AI guys helping us bring back nuclear and develop those assets. You see the AI folks being able to pay a lot to incentivize, you know, huge chunks of power. But when you're talking to the operators like Dan and I spoke to yesterday, who have, you know, 400 MCF coming out of the ground in 18 different places, it's a different value proposition, right? Like Microsoft and those folks are not going to go set up, you know, a couple handfuls of mining rigs. Like that's just not their deal, or GPUs.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. And also you're failing to mention that that's not only for losing money, but here pretty soon, you know, with Quad O, A, B, and C being actually, you know, held up and like respected, I guess, by the enforcement agencies. Maybe if that does happen, I mean, my understanding is that the infractions are going to be so bad that these companies, if they're venting somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 MCF per day, they're going to be getting $100,000 a day bills for their emissions.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And the company we met with yesterday is rather large. And they can't flare. They were telling us, though, that they have neighbors in the same area that are flaring. But they're just overall, they're just smaller operators, right? So the Environmental Railroad Commission, et cetera, is not on their tail. But your point is well taken.
Wade, good morning, sir. I see you have your hand up.
One more real quick point to Lisa's, you know, the integration of Bitcoin mining with oil and gas. So you don't only have production, so the EMPs, the upstream guys that are heavily incentivized to look at this. Not only do you have the midstream guys because of capacity concerns that are heavily incentivized to look at this, but even in the plug and abandon well and end of life part of wells, a lot of wells are just left just abandoned and orphaned simply because they're not going to make enough money to pay for their basically closing the well up and restoring the land to the way it was as per the contract, the lease says. But oftentimes these operators, because they're not making money, they just simply walk away from the problem and you're left with an environmental hazard. There are ways that Bitcoin mining, because a lot of these wells have leftover gas, you can come in, drop a little hash hut, and maybe you make enough money where that operation can pay now for that well to be properly shut in. So these are, you know, there's a lot of applications to Bitcoin mining in the energy space. I love the idea of offshore. I mean, every single offshore rig that is either a drilling rig or a producing rig, guys, I don't know if you know, has somewhere in the neighborhood of a 2 million cubic foot per day flare sitting on it. And that's 24/7. So lots of opportunities. The question is are these companies going to allow the innovation to come in and happen?
It is their shareholder responsibility to do so. It is their shareholder responsibility to monetize every molecule, no matter where it is. And just one quick short story, and then Coleman, you can kick me off the stage. We can quit talking about this, but
I won't kick you off.
Dan and I met with a company out in Midland. I don't know. This is probably 3 months ago. We didn't go to Midland. I've actually yet to go to. Actually, I have been to Midland, but it's been a long time. I got to go back to Midland. But they found me through LinkedIn and reached out, and the guy goes, can you help me? He goes, you know, we're so-and-so, it's a small company. We're so-and-so, and we have a well right now that we would really love to address. I said, sure, what's the issue? Well, we're flaring on the site of one of the public schools in the surrounding area. And the well has been there for 40 years, but the school was built later, and so they've put a cage around it, but they're flaring, you know, in the corner of the property of the school. He goes, you know, can Bitcoin fix this? Right? Like, think about that. Like, how cool is that?
That is not isolated. That happens all over, especially in the Northeast. Pennsylvania, I mean, it's more prevalent than you can imagine.
Very, very interesting. I like it, guys. But I'm going to give Waitsman had his hand up for a while. I'm going to give him a chance to ask or to speak.
Just to expand on what they're saying, state of Alaska, we've been pulling oil out of the ground since forever. That's what our permanent fund dividend that everybody has come to see as a social system came to be because the state portion of those revenues plow it into a corporation that would invest those monies and generate revenue. So it's more like a 401k for the state based off of a percentage of the revenues earned. So it's like, imagine a percentage of your check being pulled for your retirement. That's kind of what the PF permanent fund dividend is about. But the revenues that had been pulled from oil, we all know is astronomical. That fund is sitting at $80 billion. The state of Alaska passed legislation back in the late 70s, early 80s, that required that all wells be capped in the state of Alaska. Now, we have, with the Department of Environmental Conservation, we have spill prevention and response, the response to oil spills on the pipeline, and capped wells. So that's a negative net for the state, right? We have to pay that expense. But the amount of energy that's stored in the ground in the form of natural gas is actually somewhere around 10.5 petawatt. That's just sitting there that we have to monitor and respond to when there's an issue with the capped well. So in perspective, what's that? I think it's 105 terawatts of power if you pulled 1% of that annually. So the amount of power that's in here in Alaska that's untouched, untapped, that just due to a piece of legislation that can be overturned by the state legislature, imagine that hitting the hash. 10.5 petawatt.
A lot of untapped potential there.
I think if you take the energy that exists, the stranded energy that exists in Alaska between hydro, natural gas, you end up with, it would be basically 1/5 or 1/6 of the total hash rate today, just in this one state.
Hey, wait, are we going to get anybody that's with any significant power in Juneau to come to the Bitcoin Alaska conference?
I think we will. I think the speakers we have will definitely make a difference here. We've got our arms out trying to get some individuals that would have power in these different entities. So we have the Permanent Fund Corp that's located in Juneau. The employees live in Juneau. So they'll be in Juneau, and it's not a very big city. It's like 30,000 people. So I believe we'll be able to pull some of them in. You know, if you had somebody like Michael Saylor speak, you definitely have more of the investment side coming. between Don Bayes now confirmed. So to have him come in and speak to unions, I'll be working with him to reach out with to the unions, a lot of them that exist here in Juneau, and people who will travel down from north from the unions for this. The legislature, we're getting a new legislature this year. So where I work, we're going through the transition process, and we're going to see what happens with the election. We have to move offices and all that good stuff. So there's going to be some people that I've interfaced with, and they all know where I stand. And then there's going to be some new people, hopefully, that are more open than some of the previous people. But if we get somebody from one of the mining corporations that can speak to the native corporations that manage the energy in the different communities, like Huna runs off hydro, Huna is pretty much run by Huna Totem. If Huna Totem shows up, which we're going to begin interfacing with, is now that we have the website up, and I'm going to see where the if we can get some of the mining company entities. So there's a process in building this.
Can I recommend
the website, get the product?
I think you need to call Pierre. There's certain people that will just, they are just your allies. You don't have to ask too much. And Pierre is definitely one of those guys. And he definitely works for a mining company, but he is just so likable, well-spoken, and he understands how to explain to an audience in their terms Bitcoin. It is really impressive to see him in front of people that are just trying to grasp the subject.
Yeah, we'll definitely reach out. I think I'm following him on both handles. Both mine and the Bitcoin Alaska. So,
yeah, and he's super gung ho about helping situations like yours. So if you actually have an audience with government agencies, he will probably show up.
Yeah, we're pulling in everyone from the Alaska Permanent Fund. We're reaching out to the Alaska Retirement Board that manages our 80% funded liability, I think, in the state of Alaska. We're going to be pulling in legislators and native corporations and all the entities that have any significant power in the state for the conference.
And just giving everybody a heads up, we will have a couple representatives from Marathon coming in on Thursday next week. So that'll be a really good show. I'll have the link posted later today for that episode, but they'll be here on the 7th Thursday of November. So hopefully we can try and persuade them to come up to Alaska as well and come to that conference. And in case you all are unaware, the conference we're talking about is going to be held on July 5th and 6th in Juneau of next year. Go click on the handle right there, Bitcoin Alaska. I threw a link up in the nest, and we have ours truly, Lisa Huff, is going to be one of the speakers in there as well. So make sure you go up there and meet us in person. Alaska is amazing in the summer. You're not going to want to miss this conference. And while I still have your attention, I just want to give a quick shout out to our partners. Punch Plate, I see in the audience. Good morning. Check them out. Stamp your seed phrase on a metal plate at punchplate.com. Solo Satoshi, open source Bitcoin mining at solosatoshi.com. Paladin Tower Tactics, professional firearms training at paladintowertactics.com. And Black Sheep Ammo, restock your ammo at blacksheepammo.com. So we are getting to the top of the hour. Does anybody have some final comments, concerns, anything that they want to hit on really quick before we start wrapping up the show?
Yeah, sure. To Lisa's, idea of Bitcoin as a tool, I don't know that I've told you this, but it's something that I've found a new way of explaining Bitcoin mining and it's the idea of Bitcoin mining as a dam for load. So what do I mean by that? If you were to have a circuit in a city that was an emergency circuit, that means going to hospitals or going to any kind of first responders, facility, those circuits would benefit from having the idea of a dam for electric load. And Bitcoin miners, essentially, because they have to basically have that power available to them at all times while they're working, but can curtail essentially can act as that dam that can open its gates when necessary and release the load. In the case of ERCOT, you would have the ability to release that load into higher pricing environments. So whereas a Bitcoin miner would only be able to pay you maybe, you know, in the order of $30 an hour, you'd probably be clearing $100, probably $1,000 a megawatt hour during emergency rates, whilst also providing tens of megawatts to that emergency circuit. So it is, you know, a way to explain the utility and the emergency utility that Bitcoin mining can offer a municipality or even a critical infrastructure.
Oh, perfect. Thank you so much for that and that explanation. So on that, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. I want to thank everybody who tuned in today, today's episode. For everyone that came up on the panel, Lisa, Iomar, Bitpetro, Gabe, Wade on the Bitcoin Alaska handle, and Bob Van Kirk. I really do appreciate it. It does make my job a lot easier when I can have your feedback and input on the topics. And everybody in the audience, I really do appreciate you listening every day. Joe, I see you in the audience. Maybe we'll get you to come in on Monday. Debt spiral, debt spiral, debt spiral. So now I've got you hooked for Monday's show. We'll get your thoughts on everything and get your take on what you think that is going to happen on the election and what you think the markets are going to do with that information. If you haven't checked it out, please go to the Bitcoin Veterans handle and check out our video podcast we released on Tuesday evening. We had Mike and Shane going over Operation Gabriel. It was a really good episode. They showed a lot of photos and talked about everything that they're doing. And again, this is an ongoing operation. It's not something that we're just throwing a towel in. And with your help, we have raised over $115,000. And the coolest part about that is that because the majority of it is in Bitcoin, even though we're pulling money from it to fund different supplies, the money is still growing because it's in Bitcoin. So it's really interesting to see that on the back end. So again, I want to thank you all for helping with that. Again, get out there and spread our message. Again, like Gabe said earlier in the episode, we don't need to change the whole country. We just have to change our local communities, and that change will start to take root, and it'll take over everything. So just talk to your friends, talk to your neighbors, and just remember to be patient. We all didn't grasp this the first time we heard it. So get out there, get on the mission, and have an absolute fabulous weekend. But don't shitcoin. It's like buying a lottery ticket with yesterday's numbers.